You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor. Sitting down here with Dr. Dubé. How are you, sir?
Doing well. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing better than last week. It's not as hot, so that's an improvement. But really, really enjoying this fresh air and, you know, the great Portland weather that we're having right now. Yeah. So this week, we did kind of hint on it last week a little bit. This week is going to be more youth-centered. The kids are getting out of school. My daughter's actually graduating from Tubman today. So, you know, it's a big week. You know, the kids are going to be out here being active, and we want to make sure that they are safe.
Congratulations to your daughter.
Thank you. Thank you. So they haven't been vaccinated yet. I know we did talk about it a little bit, you know, whether kids should or shouldn't. But just as a general question for anyone that may have missed last episode, why does my child need to be vaccinated?
So I can tell you, I have a 16-year-old, and my 16-year-old is fully vaccinated. She got the Pfizer, both doses. The second dose was maybe 2 weeks ago or so, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
The main thing is, it's the same as for adults, right? You get vaccinated so that you can prevent illness. COVID-19 is now essentially a preventable disease via vaccination. And that's the main reason why you get vaccinated, to protect yourself and, of course, to protect those that you love, because you don't want to be the one that takes the virus home to your mom, to your dad, to your grandparents, to your aunts and uncles. So just to protect everybody, that's the main reason why your daughter should get vaccinated.
Okay. But, I mean, before they were saying, you know, the risk of children catching it is that much lower. And then now, you know, everyone's going to be outside, so we're not going to be as closely contained. I mean, I'm sure there's some parents that are like, you know, maybe I'll wait until it's time to go back to school to get vaccinated. What would you say, you know, with regards to that?
Well, so the data has been changing ever since this pandemic started, right? We've learned a lot from the time the pandemic broke out back in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. And initially, we didn't think kids got the virus at the same rate as adults. So what we know now is that, yes, kids get infected and they can get really sick from it. They typically don't have as severe an illness as adults, but they can get sick. I mean, in Oregon, we've had a lot of cases of kids being hospitalized, which I'm sure you've heard about. And we've even had, even countrywide, right? We've even had kids die from this deadly disease. So protect yourself, protect your kids by getting vaccinated.
Before the vaccination, what are some of the things that we should be preparing our kids for? Maybe, are there some conversations we should be having with them, especially with regards to some of the things they may have been hearing, you know, while they're on the internet, or, you know, maybe some in classes with some of their friends? What's some of the prep we should be doing as parents for our kids as we go into taking them to get vaccinated?
Answer their questions. Answer whatever questions they have. If you don't have the answers, you know, schedule an appointment with their pediatrician so that their questions can be answered and they can feel understood and heard. It's also very important that the information is coming from a good source, right? From a good and reliable source. Because if it's not coming from a good and reliable source, you could end up with Dr. Google telling you all sorts of information that is misleading. then it's also very, very important that kids understand that, you know, they could get sick and they could pass the disease to other folks. So they need to understand that by getting vaccinated, they are protecting themselves and protecting their elders. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing is they need to be comfortable enough to come to you and talk to you that, hey, yes, there are potential side effects that can come from the vaccines, and they need to know those side effects. So you're talking about the prep work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Talk to them about, you know, yeah, you could get a little bit of a rash at the site of injection. You could get fevers, you could get headaches. Those are incredibly rare, right? But they're still, that's still a possibility. So talk to your kids about that. Then there are some incredibly rare side effects that have only been reported in a handful of cases, like the inflammation that occurs around the heart. It's called myocarditis. If they experience chest pain, you know, take their complaints seriously. Right. It's not going to kill you. It usually goes away by itself, but meaning the if you were to get myocarditis.
Right.
Also, if you were to get myocarditis, it's also possible to get myocarditis from COVID-19. It's actually, you have a much higher risk of getting myocarditis from COVID-19 than from
the vaccine.
From the vaccine. So some things to consider, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, as parents, we're used to taking our children to get vaccinated usually around the top of the school year. Is this vaccine something that can happen while you're getting your child's getting their other vaccinations? Or should there be time separated, especially with regards to observing side effects?
So, yes. So because it's still relatively new, right, we recommend that these vaccines be separated by about a week to 10 days from other vaccines, so that we can clearly delineate which vaccine, if any, you're having side effects from.
Okay. I think that's really important to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You alluded to something just now. When kids are getting other vaccines in preparation for school, right? We do know that there are some private schools that are already talking about managing COVID-19 vaccines prior to returning to school in the fall.
Yeah.
It is by law, even public schools can do that. They're protected by law. They can require vaccination for returning to school. And what we should remember is that next fall, we're not going to have distance learning. Mm. Actually, all schools are not going to have distance learning because schools are going to be open full time.
What about those that say the information about whether they are or not vaccinated is private information? Like it's included, it's covered under the HIPAA. Like I shouldn't have to tell you whether I've been vaccinated or not.
That is true. However, there is, when you go to school, you have to provide your vaccination records, right?
Right.
Yeah. So when kids go to school, there are some vaccines that are required for them to be in school. I think the law that covers all of this is OAR 33305000020. That's the Oregon law that covers all of this information, and it explicitly states that schools, whether it's private or public, can be required to be vaccinated
to attend
the schools.
And which makes sense, right? Because going to school is a little bit different than going shopping or going to some other place where you kind of have a choice. Like the idea is, this is a place, especially in public school situation, the kids don't really have a choice. They need to go to school to learn, and the schools need to be able to provide a safe environment. across the board for everyone. You know, so there are some measures that just need to be in place in order to ensure that. So that makes complete sense. Oh wait, there was something you just said earlier. Now I can't remember, but I'll circle back around to it when it does pop back in my head. So there's been some conversation about who's paying for the vaccine. We talked about the lotteries and other incentives. I saw a post on Instagram saying, you know, never have we seen the government and cities and states do so many different things to get us to take this vaccine. I don't trust it. Krispy Kreme's giving out free donuts. States are doing lotteries. I just don't trust it.
Hey, that is very true, right? There are some skeptics out there. We have to remember that. So I come from the standpoint that I understand where people are coming from. I understand these concerns. And I want to address those concerns. And by saying that, yes, the government typically does not, and private businesses typically do not give out free stuff. but the cost of shutting things down is what's paying for all of this. Right? We saw how the economy was back in March or April, May of last year, right, of 2020. Nobody wants to go back to that. So everybody is willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that we don't go back to that. So we're paying for it, taxpayers' dollars, that are funding all of this, and also government, private businesses are funding all of this to try and make sure that everybody gets vaccinated, to try and make sure that they don't continue losing money from having to shut down.
Yeah, the idea is that let's make it a team effort. Let's make it a team
effort. This is all hands on deck. This is a team sport. I mean, we're all in this together, and we got to fight this together. And I think that's a beautiful thing, right? I have never seen anything like this, ever.
Right.
And I hope I don't ever go through another pandemic like this.
Yeah.
But the way we have come together as a world to try to ensure that everybody is taken care of is remarkable.
Would you say that some of the coverage and I guess just the way everything happened created an additional level of skepticism? Because when we talked about kids getting vaccines going back to school, right? Every year, it's normal. There's an updated flu vaccine. They give you a little pamphlet that lets you know what's changed from the last vaccine. No one ever reads this pamphlet. We just throw it in the trash. Like, we're not really that concerned. There's a level of trust that's just there. When it comes to this, and we're talking about, I guess what I'm moving towards is the normalization of this particular vaccine in the entire conversation of vaccines that we barely have to begin with. You know, this isn't something where we sit around and we discuss news, music, and vaccines. It is now, but prior to this, it was just, okay, when I need to get my shot, I need to get my shot. The doctor's going to give me a list of things. He's going to check them off, and I'll get my shots for those. Because that's what we're talking about, right? It's here to stay. Yeah. It's here to stay. We are going to be need to get vaccinated annually for this. So how do we move this conversation to kind of normalize the COVID-19 vaccination, just like everyone, all the rest of them?
So it's going to take a while. Yes, you're right. You're very, very right in that COVID is here. It's here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way we can prevent illness, the best way we can prevent more disease is getting vaccinated. And so I think it'll just take time before people are comfortable with this, with the idea that more than likely, where the CDC hasn't come out and said this yet.
Right.
But more than likely, it's going to be an annual shot that people take, a booster shot that they take every day, kind of like the flu shot or you know, the hepatitis B or you know, the Tdap, you know, the tetanus, diphtheria, right, boosters that we get every 5 or so years. So it's something that's going to happen, and people just need, it's going to take a while before people are used to this happening every year.
Yeah, I can imagine to some greater extent the politicization of this entire conversation played a huge factor in people not, you know, just being able to accept the science and treat it like any other vaccine.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, when has there ever been a time where we have questioned our public health physicians, we've questioned our doctors the way we have done now, right?
Right.
The way it was normalized a year ago. I actually think it's incredibly detrimental for everybody.
Yeah.
And we'll pay the price for it. Unfortunately, some people have gotten sick. Some people have died from the negligence, the dereliction of duty that occurred. And we need to do a better job.
Yeah. So while it is similar to existing vaccines and other things that we're dealing with annually that we need to get protected from, I guess we don't want people to also become complacent too, for those of us that are like, well, I can't remember the last time I got a flu shot. Some years I get it, some years I don't. The difference here with COVID-19, if I'm understanding this correctly, is the degree of spread is quicker. The rate of spread is higher, and because of that, we have the risk of further mutations. And is the rate of death also higher?
Oh, it's that much. It's much higher. So annually, the flu kills about 30,000 to 50,000 people in the U.S. every year, mm-hmm, annually. I mean, we have in the last 15 months, we have seen our number of deaths due to COVID-19 surpassed 500,000.
Yeah.
And by some estimates, we've undercounted, right? The University of Washington Epidemiology Department is saying that the number is actually closer to 1 million.
Mm.
And so that's a lot of people. I mean, that's 10 times as many people as, more than 10 times as many people as who die from the flu on an annual basis. So it's not something to play around with. We need to take this seriously. And right now, like we've talked about in the past, Black folks have, at least in Oregon and actually in the rest of the country, are experiencing much higher hospitalization rates than any other group, three times the rate of Caucasians. So if we don't take this seriously, we're only harming ourselves.
Mm. So if I've already had COVID, do I still need to get the vaccine?
Oh, totally. Okay. You still need to get the vaccine because the what we know about what we call natural immunity that comes from getting COVID, what we know is that it lasts about 90 days.
Mm.
Yeah, you're protected for about 90 days. Whereas if you're to get vaccinated, you're protected for over, right now it's we're saying 9 months.
Right.
So you're better off getting something that protects you for a longer period of time. And also you have better protection against the other variants as well.
So in the situation where, say, a person has never contracted COVID, I'm sure that creates a level of confidence in their ability to fight it off. What do you say to those people who haven't had COVID, never contracted COVID, been around people who have had COVID and say, yeah, I don't need the vaccine?
You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine from a different radio station earlier, prior to this conversation, and that's exactly what she said to me. And I was trying to convince her that, yes, you may have been lucky in that you didn't get it. However, you could potentially get it later on.
Right.
And you could end up really, really sick. Even worse, you could die from it.
Right.
Not only that, you could also, maybe you won't get very sick from it, but you could take it home. No, she has kids and her husband is not vaccinated yet. So it's quite possible that you could end up taking it back home to your to your to you know, she could take it back to her husband, to her kids, and one of those could die from it.
Right.
Now, that would be a terrible outcome, right? Why not prevent all of that?
Right.
Yeah, and get vaccinated.
Yeah. So for those who may be interested and may have issues of, you know, citizenship, do you need to provide proof of citizenship to get the vaccine?
Absolutely not. You do not need to provide citizenship. You do not need, all you have to do is just, you know, show up and say, I haven't been vaccinated. They may ask for some identification. Just so that they can see your name, but you do not need to provide any proof of citizenship.
Okay. Yeah. And it's no different with any other vaccination in the way that, so we're talking about children, that an adult needs to be with the minor when they go for their vaccination. And these kids can't just ride up on bikes to a vaccination site and get vaccinated.
Yeah. They do not need consent from the parents, right? If you're 16, you don't need consent from your parents to get vaccinated. You can simply inform your parents that you're getting vaccinated. However, you know, 12, 13-year-olds still need consent from their parents to get vaccinated. They still need permission from their parents to get vaccinated.
Okay. So just to be clear for everyone listening, 16 and older, they don't need consent.
That is true.
Okay. All right. If your child's under 16, they're your responsibility to get them vaccinated.
Yeah.
Are there any other things we'd like to leave the listeners with this week that might help ease their mind with regards to getting their children vaccinated? Or if some of our listeners are children, and some of the things that they might need to hear to ease their mind about getting vaccinated?
So the big study that was done to show that vaccines work in 12 to 15-year-olds showed that it prevented illness in 100% of those kids.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And there were very, very minor side effects, meaning, you know, the soreness that we talked about, make the muscle aches. But for the most part, all the kids who were in the group that got the vaccine in the trials did really, really well. So that should convince parents, that should put parents' minds at ease to say, hey, this is safe and it works really well. And there are very few side effects, if any.
Are there any particular vaccines that have less side effects for kids, or does it really just differ from, you know, person to person?
Yes, it's different from person to person. Currently, the only vaccine that's available for under 16 is the Pfizer, the two-dose Pfizer. Moderna has applied for an EUA, emergency use authorization, which I think will be granted soon. Of note, Pfizer actually applied for full authorization. They should be getting that anytime soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Doc.
You are welcome. It's always good to talk to you. It's always good to engage the community.
Yes. So you guys, make sure you're tuned in. If this is your first time checking us out, we are every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. And you can also go on the internet, anywhere you stream your podcast episodes, we are there. Ask a Black Doctor. Go ahead and check out the previous episodes. And stay in touch for more COVID updates. Thank you.
Thank you. See you, my man.
All right, now. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.